Oh, and that's a brilliant effort. And they've turned it right around. In the space of a few minutes, Saudi Arabia grabbed control of the game.
Welcome back, everyone, to the latest episode of Dowry, the Saudi football podcast, of course, with your hosts here at Arab News. International week is over and the focus shifts back onto the Saudi Pro League. Indeed, our latest show comes in the middle of round 25 of the season, so we'll look back on the results from last night and forward to the rest of the week's fixtures, of course. With me, as always, is Arab News sports editor Ali Khaled to discuss all the latest news, while our man Khaled Al-Arafa sends us his latest dispatch from Riyadh. Before we get back into the latest SPL action, Ali, some pretty significant results and landmarks in the last few days.
Yeah, hi Peter, good to be back. Yes, indeed. First up was Saudi's second match of the Asian qualifiers for the 2026 World Cup. In fact, the second match, the second time they played Tajikistan in a matter of days. Last week, we spoke about the first match in Riyadh, which Roberto Mancini's team won narrowly, 1-0, without really convincing. Tajikistan really are a fast improving team, as we saw in the Asian Cup, and one not to be taken lightly. I mean, I'm not sure fans should have been expecting, or all of us really should have been expecting, an easier match. I'm not sure. We suspected that Tuesday's match in Dushanbe would be difficult as well. It finished 1-1. Faisal Brekan scored straight after halftime to give Saudi the lead, but you know, unfortunately, they couldn't hold on to it, and the home team equalized with 10 minutes left. Look, I mean, of course, Saudi's still on course for the third round of qualifiers. They lead the table with 10 points from four matches, with Jordan on 7, Tajikistan on 5. It really should be a formality. I mean, I don't think anyone should worry about that. But another less than inspiring performance, shall we say, from Mancini's team. For now, results, in the qualifiers are all that matters, I suppose. But, you know, bigger fish lie ahead, you know, bigger fish to catch for the team in the final round. And, you know, I think in those, you know, you will probably not get away with, average performances. You know, you really need to raise the level of performances in there. So we'll wait and see what happens there.
Still as harsh as ever, our Ali on Mancini, even though he's got 10 points from four matches. I still carry the benefit of the doubt for our man. Moving swiftly on. Some good results for other Arab nations, as we predicted last week, Ali.
Yeah, some big wins, a couple of big defeats as well. In Saudi's group, Jordan beat Pakistan 7-0. They're in second place. 2 points ahead of Tajikistan, as we already mentioned there. Jordan are on 7, Tajikistan on 5. Jordan's last two matches are against Saudi and Tajikistan. So no one should be celebrating just yet. They'll face the same difficulties that Saudi did. Iraq thrashed the Philippines 5-0. To secure progress. Syria beat Myanmar 7-0, are a win away from confirming qualification in the next round as well. Okay. I think 3 points would secure that for Syria. Qatar beat Kuwait, we thought they would, 2-1. While Oman won 2-0 to stay on course as well. In Group H, the UAE are through after beating Yemen 3-0 away, while Bahrain are almost there after they beat Nepal by the same score at home.
Results there.
Yeah, some good results there for the team. You know, it was a bad day for Lebanon, though, who got absolutely thrashed 5-0 by Australia. And now in real danger of missing out. They're, you know, because their loss allowed Palestine to extend the lead, on them, to 5 points after a very late win in Pakistan. 94th minute winner from Michel Termanini saved the day. Fantastic effort from Palestine, who will progress to the next round if they can afford, avoid defeat, I should say, to Lebanon in the next qualifier. As we said last week, one of the most intriguing stories developing here, and you know, one to keep an eye on. You know, but yeah, great for Palestine. You know, I think they would have been very disappointed had the match finished 0-0, but they got that very late winner, and you know, so good luck to them, and we really hope that they make it.
Before we move on, AK, can they do it? Can Palestine do that? Can they get that result they need, do you think, in your mind?
I think they can. You know, I think this is possibly the best, you know, Palestine have, you know, I would say over the last 10 years have really punched above their weight, as we know. Yep. You know, a lot of troubles at home, a lot of political issues, you know, which directly impact, you know, I mean, beyond, you know, obviously the, you know, worrying about family, friends, and so on. They you know, it directly impacts the training, directly impacts a political issue, the situation directly impacts, you know, some players who can play, others who can't. So they've done really, really well. And yet, you know, at the moment, you could say this is possibly the best team they've had for, you know, ever possibly. You know, I mean, some people are saying, you know, they've got the best chance of qualifying for the actual World Cup as well. So, yeah, I do expect them to go on and qualify for the third round. You know, like I said, a brilliant story. Let's keep an eye on that, of course.
Absolutely. Great stuff. And Ali, of course, a historic match took place in Riyadh on Thursday night. Tell us.
Yes. So the first ever Saudi Arabian Football Federation, SAF, Women's Cup final took place at Kingdom Arena. And saw Al Ahly beat Al Shabaab 3-2. In an exciting match, you know, watched by a pretty decent crowd. You know, we had correspondents from Arab News there, of course. Everybody said a great occasion with, you know, like I said, a decent crowd. Lots of children and women attending, really enjoying themselves. Of course, lots of men as well. A very inclusive day. And seems like, you know, thoroughly enjoyed by all, you know, by all accounts, you know. So, you know, quite historic. I think, you know, we've had the Premier League. This is the second iteration, but this is the first Women's Cup final. So, yeah, it was quite a big deal, you know, I think. And it seems like the team's put on a really good show. Al Ahly took the lead through Moroccan international Ibtissam Jraidi after 18 minutes. Jraidi, of course, if you remember, Peter, became the first Arab woman to score in the World Cup last summer. Cup. When she scored for Morocco in the 1-0 win over South Korea. She's also a joint top scorer in the Women's Premier League with, 11 alongside Clara Luvanga of champions Al Nassr. So, you know, bit of a superstar, Jraidi. She scored the second as well, doubled the lead on 15 minutes. And only 3 minutes later, Naomi Kaba seemed to put the game to bed, really. I mean, to give Al Ahly a 3-0 lead. It looked all over. Belatedly, Al-Shabaab, you know, stirred, pulled a goal back on 68 minutes and reduced the deficit to just one goal on the 88 minutes with 2 minutes left of the regular time. So it was a bit of a dramatic end to the match, but there would be no miracle comeback. And Al Ahly won 3-2 in the first ever Women's Cup final. Fantastic scenes at the end. Really, really, quite heartening to see the celebrations at the end. And so, yeah, congratulations to Al Ahly there, you know.
Good timing. Listen, Ali, great timing, but it is busy at the moment. It's so busy in the sporting world, but of course with the football. And a few important results that we need to acknowledge in the SPL from last night. Though, dare I say, nothing that any way threatens leaders Al Hilal's relentless march to the title.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's some interesting matches yesterday. Nothing really that troubles the top of the table. Probably the most anticipated fixture on the first day of the current round was between Ittifaq and Al Ahly. And our reporter Khaled Al Arafa was there and managed to speak to a couple of the players as well.
Hi Ali, hi Peter, how are you guys? So the round 25 of Roshan League started with a lot of interesting matches. One of them was Al Ittifaq against Al Ahly in Dammam. So Al Ittifaq was playing at home in front of the fans. They were taking the lead 2-1 until the 88th minute. That's when Abdullah Al-Ammar, Al Ahly's player, scored the equalizer. After the match, Moussa Dembélé, Al Ittifaq player, said, "We're disappointed. We should won the 3 points, but we still have more matches." And he hopes that they can win them all. Just they need to focus and work hard. And in the other side, Ali as well, Demiral, he kind of said the same thing, the defender of Al Ahly. He said that he was disappointed and we should won the 3 points. And he said that our next match, we will face Al-Ittihad. It's a big derby, and I hope that we can win that match. Big derby is coming on the 1st of April. Everybody's waiting for that derby. After this match, Al-Ahli stays in the third position, and Al-Ittihad at the sixth position. That's from this interesting match, guys. I'll get back to you next round, Ali. Back to you.
Thank you, Khaled. In the other matches, champions Al-Ittihad continued their relative improvement with a 3-1 win over Fayha. Benzema yet again missing from the penalty spot. It could be three or four this season. I'm not sure exactly the number of penalties, but our special guest will talk, about this match in a few minutes. Al-Taoun just keep ticking along after they beat Al-Hazm 4-0, and now look comfortable in fifth place. 7 points ahead of Ittifaq. Their fantastic season continues. You know, we've been big fans of their performances all season, and they've shown that they've had the consistency to go along with with that initial surprise, seeing them in fourth place. You know, they're still up there in the table. So great stuff from Al-Taoun.
Absolutely. Perfect time to bring in our Middle East football expert, Matt Monaghan, a man who knows how to take a penalty, by the way. He's going to look at the bigger picture and discuss this round's remaining matches. Matt, how are you?
I think my university team would disagree with that. But that's a memory from a long time ago.
Yeah. Hi, Matt. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you. All good. Just fresh off the back of the Al-Ittihad game last night, which I was commentating on for SSC.
Yeah, so tell us about it. I mean, we've mentioned in recent weeks that they've kind of turned a bit of a corner in the league. It's obviously all a little bit too little too late, but what did you make of it?
Yeah, I think that's now 6 wins and 7 in the Russian Saudi League, which is a massive improvement when you think that. Yeah. They had a very poor first start of the season, but the initial first few weeks under Marcelo Gallardo were nothing short of disastrous, really. But he's definitely starting to get his imprint on the team now. And you look at his record in South America, it's phenomenal, isn't it? So you'd think now he's earning himself a real shot in the summer to mould the team as he wants them to be. And in regards to the game, I think the central character was Karim Benzema back for the first time in about a month. Understandably, not looking at his sharpest when you've been out of action for that long, missing a penalty, yet another penalty this season, but he did deliver an assist. And there were a few nice moments with Abdelrazak Hamdallah linking up together that promises something for the rest of the season. And of course, Al-Ittihad a breathless spell there straight into the Jeddah derby in a few days.
That's right. Listen, I mean, watching them now, and obviously you mentioned the 6 wins out of 7, I suppose in a way you could say that, too little too late, maybe the pressure's not on, which is fine, but they're still delivering results at the moment, and can hopefully give Marcelo Gallardo more time. We do like to see coaches be given time, but do you think they can come back strongly enough? I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in the transfer window, but do you think they can come back strongly enough to challenge again next season?
Well, the only thing I would say is it depends what happens in the summer. I think if you look at how Gallardo has enjoyed success throughout his career, and then you look at the players, no matter how talented they are, how big their reputations are these the players that will be able to play Marcelo Gallardo football sustainably for a whole season and try and challenge the behemoth that is Al-Hilal? That's the question mark, and that's something that for the recruitment team in the summer. But the talent's there, and I've got to say, one player who's still, I think I just love watching him play, Conte. Again, he was gliding across the park, covering every attack from Al-Fayha, and I think the move to Saudi Arabia has massively benefited Conte. His last few years were injury disrupted in the Premier League. I think his body he'd given so much, hadn't he, for over so many years. I think his body was just starting to fail him a little bit in the harem scare of the Premier League, but the Saudi League, which is technically the technique required to excel is very high, but the pace of the game is different to the Premier League, because every league in the world is different to the Premier League, the pace that's played at. And yeah, he was brilliant last night. I just love watching him play.
And of course, as we know, wherever Kante goes, he ultimately wins the league,
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, so he's not going to do it this season, but
Yeah.
yeah, you can't rule them out because I mean, we all know that the ambition's going to be high again in the summer, isn't it, for Al Ittihad, and it'll be intriguing to see what they do this summer.
Matt, we know you were busy, of course, with that match, but have you managed to have a bit of a look at what happened between Ittifaq Al Ahly? Al Ahly, of course, we've been speaking about them, relatively comfortable in third place, not going to challenge for the title. Nobody is, but what do you make of Ittifaq's recent, would you say improvement since their transfer window? And
I'd
Al
say a
Ahly.
massive improvement. Yeah, I mean, Ittifaq, the difference I think is night and day compared to the before the winter transfer market and post winter transfer market. I think that Gerrard, there was also, I think it was a winless streak stretching towards double digits in Roshan Saadiq. He gets the new contract in January. He gets a raft of new players, and Yoseko Fofana, one of those to score yesterday on loan from Al Nassr. He's just one of a few players who've really transformed the team. I think it's also Gerrard as well, has had the chance to also get some players out the door as well. So there was the documented things with Alku Akabi. That was a real test for Gerrard because obviously Alku Akabi is a bit of a club legend at Etifak. But he's now at Al Tawun, doing great for Al Tawun as well, we have to say. Alku Akabi is a player I really, really enjoy watching. He's a magician, isn't he? But him and Gerrard didn't seem to gel. He's out the door. And the likes of Medran and Fofana, Al Aboud, of course, he went to the World Cup with Saudi Arabia just a few years ago, and Toko Akambi. The team looks transformed, obviously. Forgot to mention Madu at the back as well. Yeah, I think they're doing great there. So again, I think they're a team who can, if they keep on with this progress, keep on with this momentum, they could. It's a big stretch, but maybe they think they could challenge for third position next season.
That's good. It's good to hear. I mean, I think it's quite exciting. We did mention right at the beginning of the season is that, with all that influx of players, you'd hope to see, that improvement across, all the teams that really have added. And for a while, you're right. I think it was like a 9-match winless streak, before the break. So it's good to see them improving. Al Ahly, as we mentioned, I mean, I keep saying they've got third place secured. You can't really say that just quite just yet.
No,
But
it's very much in play now, particularly with Ittihad improving and the derby coming as well. It's and third place is important with the new AFC Champions League elite. Third place is important.
We'll keep an eye on that. Obviously, as you said, you were covering that match yesterday. I'm not sure if you're covering any matches today.
I'm on UAE duty today, so I have Al Wasl versus Khor Fakkan. So Al Wasl looking to end their long title drought, and that's just another game to tick off for them.
All right, great stuff, and just a quick word on the upcoming matches in Saudi tonight, which is Al Nasr are playing Al Tai, and Shabab host Al Hilal. I think it's. I mean, I don't want to say it's again the pressure off and not as exciting, but we would probably expect wins for the top two here, and really the title race, not really in danger, is it, here for Al Hilal?
I think the only interesting thing, I think the big on it in the social media this week, that Ivan Rakitic is back fit again for Al Shabaab. He missed a game against Al Hazm, came off injured in the previous game. So that there's a little bit of star quality sprinkled on the Al Shabaab team. Still no Carrasco by the sounds of it though, so that's obviously a big loss. Yeah, and Al Hilal, the only thing you'll say is obviously we're coming off an international break. Several Al Hilal players have been involved. Will that have an effect? But the squad is so deep as well, isn't it? You'd expect them to keep ticking over. But this is, I think, the big thing at the moment, Al Hilal, is maybe just battling the fixture list. You've got how many games? We've got 3 games within less, well, approximately a week, isn't it? So even for a team of Al Hilal, his resources, there's a bit of jeopardy there. So let's see. But of course, that applies to all the other teams as well.
Yeah, true. I mean, the thing is with Al Hilal, that record, that winless run, shall we say, streak, winless streak, win winning streak. Big difference. That long winning streak, it has to come to an end at some point, you know. And don't forget, like, I think 2 weeks ago, it was an injury time winner.
Mikhail popping up.
So, you know, as you say, there will be a bit of jeopardy and all that. But again, you know, it's a brave man that will bet against them. So we'll wait and see there. Al Nasser always, you know, obviously, you know, there's the Cristiano interest always there. You know, we'll always watch them and all that. So,
had an interesting international break as well, didn't he, Ronaldo? So let's see.
Yeah, they lost their Portugal lost their. They had a bit of a long unbeaten run as well, and they lost that as well, if I'm not mistaken. We'll see. Yeah, a quick word on the UAE league. You mentioned already Al Wasl. You know, long time since they've won the league.
Yeah, and also we're coming off one of the games of the season last night. We're vastly improving Al Wada 3, Shabab Al Ahly, the reigning champions 3. Real end-to-end stuff, goals from both teams past the 90-minute mark. So it's a real game of the season contender there. Another defeat, though, for Emirates club, Andreas Iniesta's Emirates club, who's prior to the international break, had given themselves a little bit of hope of staying up by beating Corfacano, our last little playing tonight, but losing 2-1 at Badias. Alfa Troid as well continued to do great things with that. I think a club who are the sleeping giant, not just in UAE football, I think in Middle East football, Al Nasser of Dubai. They've got an absolutely glorious stadium right in the heart of Dubai. They've also attracted globally renowned players regularly over the last two decades, like Luca Toni, Adel Taarabt, now Johan Cabaye. It's a long list, Alvaro Negredo, but they've never been able to really do much at all in regards to trophies. I think it's well into the 80s since the last time they were in the league, and they've won again last night. So maybe Schreuder, could he be the man, again, not looking at this season, looking ahead to next season, could he be the man who finally brings glory back to Al Nasser? And I think they really are the definition of a sleeping giant to me. So keep an eye on what they're doing.
Yeah, the oldest club in the history of the UAE. Incredible stuff.
They played Liverpool. They played Arsenal. They played, I think, Pele Santos as well. I think back in the day as well.
Yeah, they've got a fantastic history, Al Nasser. You know, as someone who grew up in the UAE in the late 70s and in the 80s, and that we used to watch local football. Obviously, they were one of the giants of UAE football. And yeah, it would be great to see them, you know, back at the top. And also, like, you know, a real community club, you know, like Shindiga, when the club was established, all those in 1945, as you said, like years and years before the country's independence, you know, a big community grew around it. Restaurants, you know, Al Nasser Legoland, which, you know, was like a real destination place for, you know, for families, In in the 70s and 80s. So we'll obviously keep an eye on them. Before we let you go, just a quick word on Iniesta, Matt. You know, you mentioned, I mean, it's easy to say now, you know, of course, looking back, but, you know, was this, you know, it hasn't really, can we say it hasn't really worked out? You know, are there caveats there? You know, is it, you know, not his fault? Obviously, I mean, you know, not all the blame are on his shoulders, but what do you make of the move, how it turned out?
Well, he scored at the week on Thursday night. So that's a positive, but that was a personal victory, not a team victory, because Emirates would go on to lose Banias, who, you know, were pretty much a mid-table team every season, aren't they, Banias and the UAE, and they managed to swat Emirates club aside. I'd say with Iniesta, it's how do you judge success? Emirates are, you know, they've basically been in the bottom two for the entire season. There's a big gap to safety with, you know, they've only about 10 games left to play now this season. So on the pitch, is putting a guy in who, is he 40 years old now, Iniesta? Certainly very close to that mark. Barely kicked the ball in the J-League last season as well before they brought him in. You know, is that the type of player you need for a relegation dogfight? But the other side of the debate is that his name has such pulling power, doesn't it? And you've had, I mean, has an Emirates club player ever had a big solo interview with ESPN and Sid Lowe before, which is getting global headlines all over the world? I highly doubt it. And obviously, Rafael Kamer have huge ambitions as an Emirates, is turning into a real not just a local or regional, but a global tourist destination. And Iniesta has been obviously helping them out with that name recognition, getting that name all over the world. Ras Al Khaimah, Emirates club. So I think that's another way of looking at it. And I think what's intriguing as well, I think from what I've read, he's got an option for another year. That's an option that can be exercised, I think, largely from his side. And you do wonder as well, he's spoken about maybe this could be the last season he plays. So will there be a move into like a technical role as well? That could be something to look ahead to in the summer. Let's see. But I think I'd say Iniesta, who is one of the true greats of 21st century football, is always great to have him in the league, have him in the region. Still, I've commentated on a few Emirates club games this season. Yeah, you can't get around the pitch as much as before, and those the mazy dribbles are distant memory, but there's still real touches of class. And just to see the excitement on the faces of the fans in the stands to see Iniesta, and it's also there's a lot of the noise comes from kids who might probably they weren't even born when he scored the World Cup winning goal, but they know Andrés Iniesta. They love to see him, and it's great to see that.
Amazing. And you know what? One of my favorite players of all time, absolutely, a pleasure to watch him at his best. Just glide across the pitch. Of course, that famous, partnership with Xavi. They almost came as a package, Xavi and Iniesta. And, fantastic memories there. Great summation there, Matt. And brilliant to have you on as usual. We'll see you sometime soon.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Matt, I've got to say to you, and just before I ask you your traditional question, by the way, I've seen Ali Khaled glide across the five-a-side pitch as well in his heyday. Just putting that out there as well for you. Matt, before I ask you for a call on Shabab versus Hilal, I just wanted to go back to something that Ali said, when these teams are on runs as such. I've seen my own team way back in the 90s go on a run and a run. And it's always the games that you least expect it. I hark back to the Newcastle United team under Kevin Keegan going 15, 16, 17 games and then Grimsby coming and winning at St. James's Park. Will it be one of those that trip up a Hilal side, or do you think that they'll just carry on this season and they'll see it out completely?
I think I'm just talking on a purely statistical basis. Obviously, what Al Hilal do at the moment is unprecedented. So it's got to come to an end, even if it's not against a strong team. You look at the fixture list at the moment. I think just based on pure probabilities, you've got Al Shabab very much mid-table. Al Ahly promoted and in relegation trouble. Al Khalij doing great this season, but still very much mid-table, and a team that were fighting against relegation right until the end of last term. And that's before then you get into the Saudi Super Cup as well after that. So I think just if you look at the volume of fixtures and the fact that this run has got to come to an end at some time surely, then I think maybe it will come against a weaker team. But then they've got who have they got in the Super Cup? So you probably if they get through this very compacted league program, then you've got in the space of 4 days, you've got Al Nassr and most likely Al Ittihad as well to come after that. So I guess it's going to be either, isn't it? It's either going to be a team that's not doing very well in Saudi Pro League, relatively speaking, or it's going to be one of the big boys.
Okay, then Shabab Hilal, give us your prediction.
I'm someone who I just absolutely love watching Ivan Rakitic play. He's one of my most favourite players of the last decade or so. But I think the collective strength of Al Hilal, Salah Al-Dawsri scoring for Saudi Arabia during the international break as well. So I think it'll be another, reasonably narrow Al Hilal win, but a win nonetheless. So I'm going to go 3-1, I think.
Okay, great stuff from Matt Monaghan. Thanks as always for joining us. Same for you, AK. What's your thoughts on the big game we've picked?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, Matt summed it up brilliantly there. I think that run has to come to an end at some point. And as we said a few weeks ago, it almost did. But I just can't see them not winning this time. I still think they'll win. I think maybe that draw, that elusive draw for the rest of the league will come sometime soon, but not just quite yet. I think it'll be Shabab 1 and Hilal 2.
Okay, so the Hilal domination continues. That's it for another action-filled week at home and abroad. Good luck to your team, whoever it is, this weekend. And we will see you again next week for another packed edition of Dowry.